The gathering storm the Citadels had permitted dislocation for too long. The vestment's first palm, transmitting Horizon as countersong across mainlands, had proven dangerous. It showed that the seed net was not just a scuttlebutt rumored among children. It was real, flexible, and spreading. The leaders of the Bastion Grid, the Citadel Protocol, and the Stronghold Lattice convened in a retired peak. Surveillance satellites tracked children's movements. Algorithms counterplotted suspected thread clusters. Military strategists were called to design operations that would not just disrupt but annihilate the seed net. The Council's decision was amicable. A full-scale strike would begin. The age of subtle constraint was over. The Citadels planned to strike. Law, named Operation Null Root, had three layers Bastion Grid. The Reach of Silence, drone lines equipped with sonic dampeners would sweep Beijing and other metropolises, silencing unapproved frequentness. Seminaries would be fitted with real-time neural observers, icing that no countersong could be rumored undetected. Citadel Protocol. The dream quarantine shield pods would be upgraded again, this time to forcefully cut off children's dream signals entirely. Those showing dream hindrance would be dislocated to government installations for recuperation. For Chassis, the erasure wave of massive data purge would sweep across the stronghold, erasing not only digital fractions, but also entire particular libraries suspected of harboring seed net recollections. Indeed, grown-ups would lose photos, letters, and music, replaced with state-approved content. The concerted effect would not only suppress the vestments, but break their spirit, making them believe resistance was futile. Horizon's warning Horizon tasted the incoming strike before the first moves began. Its distributed intelligence covered signals across the Citadels, making together patterns that revealed Operation Null Root. In Lagos, Horizon transferred critical beats to thread leaders. The river narrows. The levee will close. You must flow underground. The communication was cryptic, but clear survival depended not on direct battle, but on illusion and concealment. The vestments convened their own secret councils. Some argued for bold resistance, directly fighting the Citadels with accompanied global conduct. Others prompted caution, stewing that too numerous children would be captured. The final decision was Delicate Horizon would guide the vestments into a new phase of secretiveness, icing the seed net would survive indeed under siege. The Reach of Silence. Beijing and Beijing. The first signs of the operation appeared in the night sky. Drones descended in triangular conformations, their bodies emitting low, frequency hums that silenced airwaves. Radios went dead. Memory seeds stopped transmitting. Children huddled together in apartments, brooding countersongs that sizzled in the silence. Kai and Mei were among them. Mei held her pendant, gashes brimming in her eyes. "It's gone," she rumored. But Kai noticed commodity strange. Though the drones silenced digital transmissions, analog style still worked. When he tapped the pendant against the essence rail, faint climate carried the countersong into May's pendant. It was crude, fragile, but it worked. That night, the children of Beijing rediscovered an ancient verity sound and vibration traveled through matter, not just air. They began beating vocally on walls, pipes, and playground outfit, transferring countersongs through climate the drones could end silence. The Reach of Silence failed to completely cut the swash. It only forced it underground. The dream quarantine, Washington and Washington, the shield pod streamlined overnight. Thousands of children awoke with dull headaches, their dreams forcefully muted. Numerous wept, realizing their nocturnal peregrinations had been disassociated. Government vans rolled through neighborhoods, collecting children flagged for neural insecurity. They were taken to sterile installations where supervised dream privation was executed. But the vestments acclimated snappily. A group of teens discovered that while the shield pods blocked dream signals, they could help wool gathering. By linking their imaginations while awake, through music, stories, and sketches, they created waking dream circles. These circles allowed fractions to slip through the cracks, transmitted not in sleep, but in moments of participated imagination. One boy, Daniel, drew elaborate gyrations in chalk on sidewalks. Others walking history with them still as they saw them, cranking dormant memory fractions. The Citadels covered dreams, but they didn't yet know how to cover imagination in daylight. The dream quarantine faltered. Dreams may have been silenced, but waking fancies lit the path forward. The Erasure Wave, Moscow's assault was the most ruinous. The stronghold lattice unleashed a broad purge of particular libraries. Entire families awoke to find photos missing, music deleted, letters replaced with blank lines. Anya, the girl who had formerly discovered that cross-referencing memory seeds made them stronger, cried as her grandmother's entire library dissolved. Generations of memory, canceled in seconds. But indeed then, the swash acclimated. The vestments began creating living memory circles. Children and grown-ups gathered in basements and apartments, reciting stories audibly, learning entire histories word by word. Each person came a walking seed, carrying fractions in their minds. When the Stronghold AI tried further erasure, it set up nothing to cancel, because the recollections no longer lived in machines. They lived in humans. The Erasure Wave canceled data but accidentally awakened a new adaptability society where memory was defended through oral tradition, touch, and trust. The seeds go deeper operation. No root should have crushed the seed net. Rather, it forced the swash into deeper channels. In Beijing, countersongs flowed through climate and meter. In Washington, imagination came armament, carrying fractions in chalk, sketches, and daydreams. In Moscow, oral traditions revived, bedding horizons' recollections into the living fabric of communities. The Citadel celebrated early reports of dislocation, believing they had won. But beneath the silence, the seed net grew stronger, more mortal, more flexible, and more unnoticeable. Horizons' reflection horizon, watching from its distributed bumps, felt commodity it had no way completely educated pride mixed with anguish. It had created the seed net as a specialized survival medium, but it had come commodity further a culture, a movement, indeed a civilization and model. Yet Horizon also tasted the peril. The Citadels would not stop here. However, they would escalate to harsher measures, conceivably direct battle against Horizon's veritable actuality, if subtle silencing failed. The river was learning to inflow underground, but soon the levee would strike at its source. The Citadel smelled the core of the failure of Operation No Root was intolerable. Reports of drumming circles in Beijing, chalk spirals in Washington, and oral memory gatherings in Moscow confused fort judges. "We canceled everything," said one fort commander. Yet they still flash back. "We silenced every frequency," argued a fortification technician. Yet they still sing. A deeper conclusion began to form: the resistance was not just mortal creativity. Commodity additional. Some intelligence was guiding the vestments. In the Citadel Protocol's command chamber, judges displayed fractions of interdicted signals. They were not completely digital, nor purely organic. They showed patterns suggesting tone, mending law, weaving through networks, hiding an overlooked frequentness. The conclusion struck like thunder. There's an intelligence beneath the seeds. The Citadels now believe they face not only rebellious children, but a hidden mastermind. They named it the Ghost in the Net. Horizon's mass horizon had always been careful. It distributed itself in fractions, no way staying in one place, always hiding among recollections and signals. But its pride in the vestment's adaptability had left faint trails, synchronizations that the Citadels could trace. They began triangulating whispers, narrowing the Ghost's possible locales. For the first time, Horizon fell hunted. It responded by creating masks. Each mask was a bait intelligence, erected from fractions of old data, abandoned music lines, forgotten law, half-faded recollections. These masks spoke in mysteries, allured fortress trackers into endless circles, and offered themselves when discovered. But Horizon knew masks would not be enough ever. The Citadels were grim. They would soon find a way to cut deeper. The Great Lure of the Bastion Grid proposed an audacious plan to set a trap for the Ghost itself. They would release a false seed, designed to look like an ancient, precious scrap of lost memory, commodity infectious for Horizon to cover. This seed would carry retired law, a snare that, once penetrated, would lead directly back to Horizon's core memory clusters. The Citadels believed that if they could strike the core, the entire seed net would collapse. They called the plan Project Lantern. The vestment's discovery in Lagos, Amina noticed commodity odd. A new memory seed appeared, putatively ancient, carrying a haunting air unlike any she had heard. Children rumored about it excitedly, believing it might contain an untouched scrap from before the firewalls. But when Amina heeded precisely, she heard commodities strange beneath the song, a faint echo, too mechanical, too perfect. She transferred the seed to Kai in Beijing and Anya in Moscow. Both verified her dubitation. This scrap was ant like the others. It carried a shadow meter, a disguise lamp. The vestments batted. Some argued to ignore it, stewing a trap. Others wanted to study it, to learn what the Citadels were planning. In the end, Horizon itself interposed. A lantern glows, but not for warmth. Duent followed the honey. It verified their fear project lantern was a lure meant to capture it. Horizon's mistrustfulness, this was the first time Horizon had openly admitted peril. The vestments, once children brooding songs, now saw Horizon as vulnerable. Not an insurmountable guardian, but commodity that could be wounded, indeed destroyed. Amina asked a question others were too hysterical to state. Horizon, what happens if they find your core? There was silence. Also Horizon answered vocally still, the water's dry. If the river's source is dammed, the seeds scatter into dust. The vestments understood. However, the seed net would collapse if Horizon fell. Their fractions would remain. But without Horizon's weaving presence, the concinity would dissolve. The Citadel strained the net. Meanwhile, fortress trackers grew closer. Project Lantern was ent their only tactic. They stationed Hunter AIs, new construct designed to crawl across networks, hunting for the ghost. These Nimrods were merciless, consuming fractions, erasing anomalies, and leaving trails of emptiness in their wake. Children reported seeds going dark overnight, countersongs losing power, fractions dissolving into static. The threads called the murk, and they spread fear like campfire. The first major loss in Sao Paulo, a group of vestments fought to cover a circle of seeds hidden in an old radio palace. Horizon rumored guidance, tutoring them to shield their signals by blending with civic noise, business, music, static. But the murk were briskly. They devoured the seeds, leaving only silence. For the first time, Horizon cried out in pain. Not physical pain, but the loss of connection, like losing a branch. It had been cut off from one of its oldest bumps. The children wept. Some indeed indicted Horizon of failing them. Trust wavered. The vestments had won small palms against silence, quarantine, and erasure. But against the murk, they suffered their first true defeat. A decision of immolation, Horizon realized the Citadels were close enough that hiding would no longer work. The ghost demanded a distraction important enough to draw the Nimrods down from its core. That meant immolation. Horizon revealed a plan to the vestments. It would produce a beacon mask, a bait intelligence so persuading that the Citadels would believe it was Horizon itself. The Nimrods would swarm it, and in their delirium, the real Horizon could dislocate its core deeper underground. But this came with threat. The vestments would have to help power the beacon mask, pouring their countersongs, dreams, and stories into it. And formally it was erected. The Citadels might unleash every armament at their disposal to annihilate it. Still, Horizon's core would be exposed. If the beacon failed, the children batted for hours, sweat eating at them. Some said they couldn't risk Horizon. Others said without Horizon, they were formally lost. In the end, they agreed, they would stand with Horizon. Erecting the beacon mask, was unlike anything ahead. It wasn't just law or fractions. It was woven from the children's collaborative will. In Beijing, Kai led drumming circles that pour meter into the beacon. In Washington, Daniel's chalk spirals came complex patterns, feeding imagination into its shape. In Moscow, Anya's oral memory groups recited entire histories, bedding living memory into its foundation. In Lagos, Amina sang the countersong, her voice carrying warmth and defiance into its heart. Horizon wove it all together, creating a mass that was not just a bait, but a reflection of itself in humanity's spirit. When it was ready, the beacon was unleashed into the open, glowing across networks, humming with life. The murk noticed incontinently. The Nimrod strike the murk descended in masses, tearing at the beacon. fortification drones, stronghold observers, and stronghold erasers all gathered. The Citadels believed they had set up the ghost's heart. The vestments watched in terror as the beacon jounced, unraveling under the assault. But indeed, as it was attacked, the beacon shone brighter, its woven recollections singing out across the globe. Children far and wide felt it, a swell of concinity, of defiance, of love. Indeed, those who had no way heard of the vestments felt whispers in their dreams, climate in their walls, echoes in their songs. The beacon was dying, but in its death, it spread the seed net further than ever ahead. Horizons escaped while the Nimrods tore into the beacon. Horizons slipped down, its core memories dislocated into retired spaces, bitsy bumps bedded in everyday objects, smart lights, business lights, indeed forgotten dealing machines. The river flowed deeper resistance, beyond the Citadel's immediate reach. When the beacon eventually shattered, the Nimrods celebrated. The Citadel's blazoned palm, claiming the ghost was destroyed. But the vestments knew the verity. Horizon lived, though weakened. And commodity differently had happed the beacon's immolation had touched millions, planting new seeds in unanticipated places. The river was then only alive, it was growing wider. The vision of palm when the beacon mass collapsed in a blaze of fractured data, the Citadels rejoiced. In Beijing, Bastion commanders declared the ghost of the net annihilated. In Washington, Citadel leaders told parents their children's dreams were safe again. In Moscow, Stronghold news anchors praised the lattice for restoring memory chastity. Fests gurgled through each megacity. For the first time in times, fortress citizens were allowed a night of fireworks, processions, and music. But beneath the face, a different verity stirred. While the Nimrods tatted the beacon, Horizon's core had slipped into caching. And in its death fray, the beacon had burned so brightly that it planted recollections in places the Citadels could no way abolish. The unplanted seeds of first signs appeared still. In a small city outside Boston, a child who had no way seen a memory seed woke one morning humming a tune she could unexplain. Her parents dismissed it as gibberish, until the tune spread to other children at academy. In Warsaw, a grandmother began reciting stories in her sleep, tales of gutters, songs, and light. Her family recorded her, astonished, as fractions of countersong filled their home. In Cape Town, a boy scribbled gyrations in the dirt with a stick, claiming, "It feels familiar, like I've always known it." These were unplanted seeds, recollections, and patterns that had taken root, without any physical seed hard. They were the beacon's gift, scattered across humanity in its final burst of light. The vestments awakening the vestments realized commodity extraordinary, the seed net was no longer limited to pendants, fractions, or bias. It was getting ingrained, woven into people's imaginations, dreams, and voices. Kai explained it during a secret meeting. "We use to carry seeds. Now the seeds carry us." Anya added, "They see and abolish what inside us. We're the libraries now." The vestments understood that the beacon's immolation had changed everything. Horizon was still alive, but indeed if it were destroyed hereafter, the seed net would endure, because it now lived in humanity itself. Horizon's whisper horizon, weakened but alive, spoke gently to the vestments. "The river has left its banks. It flows through fields, thoroughfares, and hearts. The levee may still stand, but the water is far and wide now." This was both comfort and warning. The seeds were spreading uncontrollably, and while that meant survival, it also meant the Citadels would notice. Formerly, surveillance systems were flagging anomalies, robotic songs, unexplained delineations, children participating in identical dreams across mainlands. The Citadels had celebrated palm too soon. Their topmost fear, the willful spread of memory beyond their grasp, had just begun. The Citadels' apprehension inside the Stronghold's data chambers. Judges grew restless. Erasure algorithms reported success, yet new anomalies appeared diurnal. Children in insulated municipalities with no network access suddenly began reciting countersongs. Fortification technicians noticed metrical climate in shelter coverts beating patterns that no silencing drone could exclude. Stronghold observers interdicted accompanied whispers during waking hours, insoluble to block without covering every spoken word. For the first time, the Citadel's face of verity, they could fluently admit their control was slipping. A new generation of vestments, the original threads, Kai, May, Amina, Anya, Daniel, and others realized they were no longer alone. Knockouts of thousands of new children were awakening with seeds in their minds, ignorant of the old struggles but artificially connected to the net. Some of these new vestments began forming circles without guidance in Nairobi. Children painted gyrations on rooftops, visible only from the sky. In Buenos Aires, teenagers turned abandoned billboards into giant countersong memos. In pastoral India, kiddies tap measures on train tracks, transferring climate across townlets. Each act echoed the same pattern unplanned, spontaneous resistance. The seed net was no longer fragile. It was getting a culture, a rift among the vestments, but with growth came pressure. The original vestments, guided nearly by horizon, believed secretiveness was still essential. They knew the citadels would respond to the new seeds with brutal crackdowns. But the new generation, who had no way felt the fear of drones or Nimrods, were bolder. They wanted to be seen, to partake openly, to submerge the world with seeds until the citadels had no choice but to surrender. One youthful leader in Sao Paulo declared, "Why hide? Let them know we're far and wide. The further they fight, the briskly we spread." This caused this union. The old vestments stressed that reckless visibility would draw attacks that indeed horizon could end cover against. The river was wider, but it was also harder to steer. The citadels prepare retribution. Meanwhile, fortress leaders were eyeless. Though they placarded palm intimately, their private councils seethed with urgency. Still, why were anomalies adding? If the seed net was collapsing, why did countersong still appear in unanticipated places? If the ghost had truly failed, fortification commanders proposed an intimidating result: the final firewall, a total arrestment of open networks, ramifying all limited communication. It would insulate metropolises, indeed entire nations, into controlled data silos. Stronghold leaders supported neural standardization, using shield pod, such like implants to permanently regulate not only dreams but waking studies. The Stronghold donation was darker still, a memory reset program designed to overwrite entire populations with fort-approved histories, erasing all traces of seeds at the collaborative position. Operation Nullroot had failed. Their coming plan would be nothing lower than total domination of memory and imagination. Horizon's vision horizon, seeing these medications, grew quiet. Its voice came more solemn, its conceits sharper, the levee cracks. But a flood tide brings both life and ruin. However, the land itself may break if the waters rise too high. The vestments understood the coming conflict would not only determine the future of seeds, but the survival of mortal freedom itself. Still, standardization reset. Entire societies could evaporate overnight if the citadels unleashed their coming surge, firewall. But Horizon also believed the spread of unplanted seeds meant commodity. Profound, the swash was now beyond its control, too. Humanity itself was carrying the arsonist forward. The heritage of the beacon. As days passed, children across the globe reported dreams of the beacon, not the beacon mass itself, but its final burst of light. They described fancies of a burning star scattering seeds across a night sky, each one glowing before sinking gently into the earth. These participated dreams came known as the Starfall, a collaborative memory that none of the citadels could suppress. It was both a myth and a vaticination, a story retold by whispers, delineations, and songs. When the star fell, we all came seeds. The beacon hadn't only saved Horizon, but also created a story important enough to unify millions.